Yeah, you know, I've been sort of marked, I think, by other bus drivers as a little bit different in some ways. I was just recalling to Nancy and Greg that not to minimize small things, because I spent about 10 of the 13 years as a bus driver actually riding the bus to work before I drove the bus and riding home, oftentimes late at night. Bus was almost empty. Driver was bored. And he had another fellow driver to talk to. I can't even imagine the number of hours that we chatted, and many times the conversation edged over toward life and toward, we didn't maybe always talk directly about God, but the other driver knew where I was going, you know, that sort of thing. And one ended up calling me Padre, which I take as a compliment. So today, you know, that unavoidable subject that we all would like to stop hearing about, pandemic and COVID and, oh dear, right? But let's turn it around a little bit this morning, shall we? Let's turn it around a little bit, and let's talk about God's cure. God's cure for an even bigger pandemic. The world is just bowled over by this COVID thing. But you know, we got bowled over a long time ago by a much bigger pandemic. And it was a pandemic that was not just affecting the physical body, it was a pandemic that actually went into, well, you could say, the pores of the human heart. And it actually, you know, if you have a heart infection, that's pretty bad, or some other vital organ. But when you stop and think about our own humanity being changed and altered by some power, some evil power or force that you might as well call a spiritual disease, and how it spread, and how it took over the world and world history. If you pick up a history book, it very rarely mentions the good deeds that were being done from one nation to another, you know, over the hundreds of years. What is a history book usually? What is the demarcation of a history book usually? Is it not conflict and war? And this group of people overcame that group of people and either wiped them out or assimilated them or something like that. This is all part and parcel of this problem that we've had historically. We call it this, I call it today, the sin pandemic. The sin pandemic. And so, you know, I'm sure you've had your experiences with plans being canceled, you know, even reading about weddings having to be changed or rearranged or put off or that sort of thing. We probably all know people that have had major plans in their lives altered. You know, it seems as though the world's countries have had to just go on pause a little bit to attend, instead of figuring out how to outmaneuver the next country and how to you know, get an advantage over its neighbor. We seem to all be locked onto this thing of how to deal with what's happening to the illness, the COVID, in our countries. But you know, why does this happen? Why do illnesses happen? Doesn't it revert back to the thing I spoke of first, the first pandemic, the sin pandemic? It altered everything. It gave an open door for diseases and for just bacteria to alter and become diseases. We know that more and more discoveries are being made that bacteria and microbes can and often do play a very beneficial role in our bodies and so on. But something has turned some of them against us and created horrible things. I was doing some research, and you know, if people think we have it bad now with COVID-19, just crack a history book. It sort of puts wars on pause for a bit, and around, I think, as far back as the mid-1300s, and then outbreaks following that. Black Death, bubonic plague. Oh my goodness. I don't want to go too far into it because it's just so scary and so negative. But let's suffice it to say, estimates are 1/3 to 1/2 of the European population perished in that period of time. Those are scary things. And they rock us back on our heels, and we say, wow, what happened to our world? And again, it's because something happened at the very beginning. Something happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve made their own decision that they were going to go a different way than what God had asked them to do. God gave them everything except the one tree, as Einar was preaching about last week. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as God says, not that, what do we want, you know? Well, why not, you know? What are you hiding? You know, is there something special there that you're trying to keep me from? All these little suspicions can come up. And so they took a step. They took a step away from God. And then one step became another step. And then one of their sons murders his brother. Oh my goodness. And things just seem to get progressively worse. The dominoes start to fall. And by the time of Noah, the Bible says that the earth was filled with violence in those days. And God even regretted that he had created mankind because of the horrible things that were being perpetrated in those ancient times. And only Noah stood still connected to God by faith, still reaching to God in every trial and every tribulation, which gives us a clue for our day in which we live. If you have your trials and tribulations, whether it's, you know, the COVID thing, or whether it's your personal trials and tribulations, what do we do? Well, we're going to just simply focus back on God and not wander away in our grief and in our own personal sorrow and in our attempts to make ourselves feel better. We're going to instead redouble and do exactly what the worship team has been leading us to do, is to focus on our wonderful God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But don't you think there's a longing in the human heart, in the midst of all the strife and trouble and hand-wringing and the attempts to get ahead and this and that? In our songs and in our poetry, we have glimmers of wistfulness, of wanting something, and having a sense that there is something better that we left behind. We've got words from Bob Dylan's song, How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? And how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? And how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. There's a sense, I think, in many people, particularly perceptive people, that there should be, there could be, there would be something better, peace and harmony and love and mutual support and that sort of thing that we see the glimmers of. If you were fortunate enough to come from a good family, you maybe experienced much of that growing up. Some of us not. But a sense of a longing, and if you look for it, you see it in especially the artists of our age, the writers, the poets, the songwriters, they're looking, even if they don't have that connection to God, they sense something's missing, something's missing. You know, I was thinking about this phrase, new normal, that's been kind of pushed on us. And I was thinking, you know what? We have a longing for a real normal. We have a longing for a true normal. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back to paradise. And we have that within ourselves. And so whenever you hear someone talking about having to get used to the new normal, just sort of quietly repeat to yourself, there's a better normal. There's a better normal. There's a true normal. There's God's normal. There's the normal that we came from and lost in the Garden of Eden, but we're headed back toward it through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at that idea. We took a wrong fork in the road back there, but we were meant to live with God. And we know that we've been infected by this thing called sin, and it's a pandemic. I was doing some research, and well, of course, you know your history, and it seems like it's just so easy for things to go wrong. When people try to set up a perfect government, I'm sure that back in the days of Marxism over in Russia, that I'm sure there were a lot of idealists that were longing for a better normal. You know, it wasn't God's normal; it was their invention. And sure enough, they found their leaders, their Lenin and their Stalin. And they thought, wow, this is going to really be it. This is going to be the harmony and the community and the working together. And sure enough, their leaders gained power. And we have that little phrase that came to my mind, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. How sad that we have descended as a humanity. We have descended to the point where I think very few human beings are able to be raised up to a position of power and utilize it properly without being corrupted by it. That is our illness. That when we have power and we have strength and we have rulership and we have the say, that we begin to misuse it. That is our original pandemic that we brought with us when we left the Garden of Eden, when we disobeyed God in Adam and in Eve. I was reading I found something. You never know what you're going to find when you Google, right? But there was a blog by Martin Bassett Associates, and they were talking about leadership qualities. I guess it was because I Googled that thing about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And they said they had actually done studies that showed that professionals in high positions are three times more likely than their subordinates to interrupt and insult coworkers. Interesting. This is just a study. Not pay attention during meetings, and they would raise their voices. The actions of leaders who succumb to power corruption has widespread negative consequences. These types of people not only ruin the reputations they've built, but also the working environment. Stress and anxiety is created, weakening a group's performance level and their desire to succeed. Anybody been in that kind of a situation in your working life where someone's power got to their head too much and they began to browbeat or demean or do whatever their ego brought them to do? And it harmed the overall productivity of that workplace. How many times has that perhaps been repeated over and over again? The sin pandemic that causes the human heart to turn dark and sinister, especially when it has power. Well, it sounds kind of like Romans chapter 5, if we've got that. You're right with me, Tops. Thank you. Let's look at these verses. Can you see a parallel in these verses to the spread of disease, a kind of spiritual disease of the heart? It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, kind of like one person, you know, with the bubonic plague entering a city, and then death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. So you can kind of sense this idea of something dark and sinister spreading, the sin pandemic spreading. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, they're talking about Adam, Paul's talking about Adam, how much more, here's the positive part, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? In the word gift, can you kind of put the concept of vaccine, but a vaccine that heals the human soul and spirit? A vaccine that is a costly vaccine. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed the one sin and brought condemnation. And that's what our world is struggling under ever since we've left the Garden of Eden. We're under a kind of condemnation. Our actions are judged. Our thoughts are judged. We fall short time and time again. And all we can look forward to is condemnation. But, isn't it great? When you come to that negative part, that there's a but, there's an alternative, there's an escape. The gift followed many transgressions, many trespasses, and brought justification. And there's a lot packed into that word justification. But suffice it to say, everything we deserved was placed on Jesus. He willingly took it upon himself in his love and in his concern and wanting to bring us back to him. For if by the trespass of the one man, boy, that's repeated several times, isn't it? I think this is the third time he's talking about that. Death reigned through the one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, think cure, think vaccine for the sin that causes us to be so so leaning in the wrong direction. The God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So you see three times here, he talks about, you know, sin came, death came by one man, and then he reverses it three times. But Jesus, but there's grace, but there's an abundant provision for you. There's a healing. There's a spiritual vaccine. And we've seen, of course, that even in our own families, the penalty, the ramifications of the sin pandemic, and we so much need that alternative. We need that answer. We know that If any of you have done counseling, have done work to try to work with people, and it involves you with families, you become aware of how the corrosion of the sin pandemic has even entered into family relationships. Marriage is splitting apart. Children alienated from their parents and feeling rejected. Things that should not happen that do happen because of the sin pandemic, and we need the cure. We need the cure. And where does that cure come from? Where do all those things get, how do they get reversed? How do people get back into right relationship with each other? And yes, even sometimes in congregations, people need to get back into right relationship with each other too. Because it doesn't stop. The sin wants to keep going further, further, and further. Well, when we are bowed down and when we are struggling and when we know our relationships are not going the right way and when we're finding ourselves against one another instead of supportive and encouraging of one another, we need to turn our attention. If it's strayed away from God, we need to turn it back to God. So we have the theme verse, verses 4. If you go to Psalm 103 there, tops, these are the theme verses for God's reversing of the sin pandemic. David was quite a guy. He could become quite a warrior and a fighter, and sometimes things got out of hand, but he always knew how to come back to God and get himself squared away, get himself straightened out. And three times, the first mention of his response is to praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What is that? It's attention and it's admiration for the Creator, for the one who gave us our existence. Our attention is so often taken up by many other things, and I too have to admit it, right? We get caught up in this or that TV program, movie, favorite activity, talking with our friends, whatever it might be. But do we give God his proper attention? Do we admire and praise him? Do we devote that attention to him regularly, frequently? Do we give him a chance? Because once we have connected and given him our admiration and praise, a conduit is opened up. And he then can deliver good stuff to our hearts and to our souls. He can deliver grace and mercy and peace. My goodness, if we were just to fill ourselves and our minds up with the evening news, what would happen? You know? Have you ever felt just totally jangled and out of sorts? Maybe you should just curtail your viewing of the evening news a little bit and devote some of the time to praise. You can praise without being, you know, with these wonderful musicians. You can still come up with something, you know, for our wonderful God and Savior. You can open that conduit wherever you are in your home at any time. It's up to you. And look what comes down the pipeline. It says, do not forget all his benefits. Don't forget where the good stuff comes from. Open the conduit up. He forgives. Okay, do you have regrets? Do some things come at you from your past and the evil one starts to, you know, make you feel badly? Well, he forgives. We need to take hold of that. We need to really absorb it. He heals all your diseases. Doesn't that sound good in a time when we're dealing with the COVID pandemic and much more than that, the sin pandemic that has been historically with us? He redeems your life. The word is rescue. He redeems your life. You feel like it's all over? There's sad stories you hear once in a while of somebody ending their life. What happened? You felt there was nothing left to live for? There is, but you have to connect to your Creator again. There's always something to live for. And he crowns you with love and compassion. Notice, there's no stipulation here. There's nothing that says, if you're good enough, he'll crown you with love and compassion. There's nothing that says, if you've done enough this or done enough that, he'll crown you with love and compassion. It's not out of your reach. It's not for someone else. It's for you. It's for you. And he satisfies your desires with good things. He knows what you need, and he knows the longings of your heart, the things that are right and proper longings and yearnings in your heart. He knows, and he satisfies. And wow, so that your youth is renewed, like the eagles, a few of us getting a little older, right? We'll take all the renewal we can get, right? Sure. But he has all these things. All these things. For those who will turn their attention to him frequently and praise him and connect again and keep on connecting. I'm reminded of, I had this little picture as I was preparing this. You ever see a loving mom or dad with their little one who's just out of sorts? Something has just not gone right for that little one. And they're just, you know, kind of stomping their feet or clenching their fists or starting to cry or something like that. And the loving mom or dad says, look at me. Look at me. Because they're so much into their own problem, they're in this little shell. And mom or dad says, look at me. Eye contact. Right? Don't you think God does that with us? Look at me. Connect to me. Receive. Receive what I have for you. He loves you. He wants to connect to you. He wants to give you healing, renewal, encouragement, joy, peace, and all these things. Comes through Jesus, not a pharmaceutical company. Pharmaceuticals, boy, you know, I read about them once in a while with different reports that come out. Hundreds of millions of dollars to produce a vaccine. They've got to test it. It's got to run through all these trials. It's got to be approved. Everything costs. Can you believe the amount of cost? How much did it cost God to clear the way for the historic sin pandemic to be cured? For the vaccination? How did he form the vaccination that would turn us from corruptible beings into eternal and immortal and perfect beings and have a restored destiny in paradise? What did it cost God to do that? It cost the life and the blood of his dear son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Much more than hundreds of millions of dollars, and done willingly and done lovingly for you and for me. There is a vaccine. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will cure, it will change, it will renew, it will restore. And we who are fallen, corruptible, mortal people are invited to once again become immortal, incorruptible, perfected, and qualified to live with God forever in paradise. Now that's some kind of vaccine. Some kind of vaccine. Have you received it yet? I pray that you have. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice that didn't realize that it was available, this vaccine to cure our corruption that's been part of our humanity forever, if you didn't know, now's the time to know that you can receive Jesus Christ and your life as your personal Savior. He did it for you, not just for the people in the church, not just for those people who seem to be better than you. He did it for you. He loves you. He cares for you. Have you called upon him? It's just so simple. There's no complicated formula. Is just say, Lord Jesus, help me. Just like the people in the New Testament, Jesus walked by and some blind person called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's all it took for the connection to form, for Jesus to be in his life. There was a guy on the cross next to Jesus. Remember me, Lord. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all it took. That's all it took. And the vaccine went into him. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. You'll never find a more loving leader. And by the way, he has absolute power and he's not corrupted by it. and he never will be corrupted by it. In fact, he was facing death, and he knew. I think, who did he say it to? Peter, or was it one of the rulers? But he said, I could call my Heavenly Father to send legions of angels to defend me. And he withheld. And he went to the cross so that you and I could receive the vaccine and once again become immortal and once again be perfected. You'll never find a more loving leader and an incorruptible leader who did this for you. Let your heart reach out to him. Receive him. And take part. Take part. Let him transform and renew you. There's a better person that he's got in mind for each one of us. And he's growing that better person in us. So, I had a little vision. We're going to have Remembrance Day coming up. And I had this little little bit of a picture of something. And it's meant to encourage you when you get discouraged with all the restrictions and the warnings and what could happen to you if you get COVID, you know. And you, sometimes maybe you feel kind of trapped and you feel sort of imprisoned. So, you know, in honor of our soldiers who have fought in the wars and so on, let's just imagine a vision of soldiers who are prisoners of war. And I don't know, they might have been shut up in this internment camp for a year or maybe more. And they've been mistreated by their captors, and they've been deprived of the things that they would like to have for food and such, and they've not been allowed to communicate outside, and you know, it's just a miserable existence under the thumb of their captors. But one day they hear explosions in the distance. They hear a booming sound, and it's coming closer. And then maybe an hour later, they hear the sound of gunfire, and it's approaching. And do you think that they are going to just get seized with fear and terror? Because no, they look out the window and the guards are climbing down out of their towers and are running away. Their captors are evacuating the camp. Why? Because the allies are coming. The friends of the prisoners are taking control. And they are about to be liberated. And I bet they're very happy. Even though there's turmoil and there's explosions and there are all kinds of things going on, they are lifting up their heads. They're standing up and lifting up their heads. And that's what Jesus said to us. When you see all kinds of things happening in your world, and they're not happy things, they are signs that there's a change occurring. There's a change of control. There is a overturning of this world's authorities. There is a greater authority, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has all power. And when things start to get tipped over and turned upside down and going what looks like the wrong way, it could very well be that it's time for us to stand up and lift up our heads. because our redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus is coming. He promised, and his word is good. His word is true. He is your ally if you believe in him and trust in him. Stay connected to him. And don't be overcome by the negatives, by the fears, and by what might happen. Praise him. Bless him. Connect to him. Receive the good stuff from him, the grace and the mercy and the peace. I think we'll just close with the last slide and just say once again, praise the Lord and do not forget him who forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, and satisfies you with good things. You have a destiny, regardless of your past, in Jesus. You have the vaccine that heals and restores you to the real normal that God has in mind for you. The real normal that you were created for in the Garden of Eden is there for you in paradise. No one can take it away. Take hold of it. Amen.